Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. The text for our meditation this morning is written for us in St. John's Gospel, chapter 6, beginning at the 26th verse. I'm going to read a slightly different translation than what's in your bulletin. Jesus answered them, "Amen, amen, I tell you. You are not looking for me because you saw the miraculous signs, but because you ate the loaves and were filled. Do not continue to work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him God the Father has placed his seal of approval." So far our text, let us pray. Heavenly Father, these are your words. Sanctify us through the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. I'm battling a little bit of a cold this morning, so if I sniffle and cough a little, please just be patient with me. In Jesus the Christ, the bread of eternal life, dear fellow redeemed. If you were to go to the grocery store and grab a loaf of bread off the shelf and start looking at the packaging, you're going to find a date on that packaging. I'm guessing you all know what I'm referring to. Now, when I was a kid in Australia, it was always referred to as the expiration date. And I don't know if it's changed in Australia, but I know here in America, now it's often best before. Okay. Now, what's that indicating about the contents of the package? And it's not just bread. It's many of our foods have a best before date on them. Okay. It's an indication that the quality of that food is decreasing over time. It's not only decreasing in how it tastes, it's also decreasing in its nutritional value to us. And so they put that best before date on there to give you a warning. If you eat this after that date, it may not satisfy. May not satisfy in its taste, and it may not satisfy your body in your bodily needs. Best before. Now, with bread, we all, I'm going to guess, we've all experienced this, where you pull out a piece of bread, it looks pretty good, give it a sniff, it's already gone moldy. Okay. Or you smells okay, but then you take a bite and it's like chewing on cardboard, it's gone stale. We've all experienced this aspect of our earthly food where it perishes over time. Jesus in our text focuses our attention away from the food that spoils to the food that endures or remains to eternal life. You could say food that lasts. And if we were to read the rest of this chapter 6 of John, we'd see that Jesus himself is that bread that endures to eternal life. So let's focus then on this bread that endures. Jesus told the people that they were working for the wrong thing. Now, the bread that they were working for was wrong for a couple of reasons. The first is that it didn't last. Jesus had just fed 5,000 men and whatever women and children were there with 5 loaves and 2 fish. We're told that the people saw that miracle and we're going to come and take Jesus by force and make him king. So Jesus dispersed, sent his disciples across to the lake on a boat. He went away to pray, and then he caught up to the disciples on the lake and landed at the other side. The crowd, you might say, then chased Jesus to find him. They were putting in a lot of effort to find Jesus. But Jesus knew what was going on in their head and their heart. And he tells them, you're not trying to find me because I perform miraculous signs. You're trying to find me because I filled your belly. And what do we know about our bellies? They're only momentarily full. Our body has a constant need for food. The food that we eat satisfies only momentarily. And then we need more. So the nature of the food in this life is that it's temporal, not only in the sense of how long it lasts, because it spoils, but also in the lengths that it can sustain our body. It just doesn't endure. And we've experienced this not only with good meals, but even with foods that we really like. We'll have a piece and it's like, oh yeah, that's great. Maybe it's that dark chocolate. But by the fourth piece, do you still get that kick of satisfaction that you did with the first? Probably not. And by the 15th piece, you're actually sick, aren't you? The food of this life, which we put so much work and effort into getting, just doesn't endure. It doesn't satisfy because it is only temporal. So where are you putting your efforts? That's really what Jesus was addressing, the issue. It wasn't that they shouldn't have chased to find Jesus. It's that their priorities were all messed up. They were looking to him to keep filling their bellies. They weren't chasing after him because of what those signs meant. And notice the way that John words this, or Jesus words it. Miraculous signs. It's not just that Jesus did miracles, but it's that those miracles were signs of who he is and what he can do. Jesus urged the crowd to look for bread that lasts, and then even says, which the Son of Man will give you. He was there in a very subtle way, saying, all the efforts of your hands are going to spoil. Only I can give you bread that endures. And why can Jesus do that? It's because he has lived the perfect life that is required to gain eternal life. None of us can earn eternal life because from the moment of conception, we inherited Adam's sin and were guilty of it. And from the moment of conception, we have failed to live the way God wants us to live. And as we grow, we see more and more evidence of how our priorities are all wrong and how we chase after bread that just doesn't satisfy. But Jesus lived a perfect life and he earned eternal life. He possessed it because he fulfilled God's law in our place. And then he died the death that we deserve. Because of sin, we were all destined to die. Our rotting bread is only a picture of us. Because one day we will rot too, because we're perishing from sin. But Jesus took all that rotting, all that guilt and that sin, and he put it in his own body. And he suffered what we deserve, so that he has made full satisfaction for all of our sins. And on the cross he cried out, "It is finished." He was declaring that the work of salvation was complete. And then beyond our comprehension, God died. The immortal God died in the person of Jesus so that we could live. And on the third day, God raised him from the dead. That was God declaring to you that Jesus possesses eternal life. He lived the life that God demanded, and he died the death that our sins demand. And his resurrection shouts to you now that he has the power to give you eternal life, the forgiveness of all your sins. And Jesus wants you to eat that bread. He wants you to feast on his forgiveness, whether it's through the spoken word, through the waters of baptism, or for what's offered on the altar with his body and blood. He wants you to be satisfied, not in your belly, but in your heart and mind, to put your conscience at peace. And that food that feeds your soul, it will endure. No one is ever going to be able to come and overturn Jesus' word of forgiveness. So when he says you are forgiven, you really are. Whether your heart truly feels it or your mind can truly comprehend it, doesn't matter. Jesus is the bread of life that endures. Eat and be satisfied. Your sins are forgiven. To him be the glory, now and forever. Amen.